Hello, welcome back to another night of learning. This is Eli Nyman. I always say I cannot replace for Mordechai Plotzker, but I'll be giving Shir in his stead. We are learning Leila Nishmas Chaim Baruch Ben Zabel, Peral Bas Pinchas, the Miriam Bas Aaron, the Kaaba Esther Bas Avram, Maiden of Shem of Heaven Aliyah. We are learning Refuah Shleimah for all those who are sick. We are learning doubting and hoping that they have a full shalom. May Hashir be a plus for Eretz and for Klal Yisrael. Parshas Pekudei continues. We spoke about Parshas Pekudei a few days ago, where we talked about the idea of why is it that the Torah was very specific as to which. When it came to the silver, so everything that the silver was used for. As the parsha continues, the Torah tells us, that when Moshe was putting together the Mishkan, so it says it was in the first month of the second year, on the first of the month, that the Mishkan was put up. And so the key word here is, Hukam HaMishkan, the Mishkan was put up. For anybody that speaks Diktuk, speaks Hebrew, so they immediately see and realize that the word hukam is a passive word. It really should have been phrased differently. I'm not an expert, unfortunately, but whatever it is, the pasuk should have said Moshe Yakim HaMishkan or something like that. And Moshe put together the Mishkan. What does it mean? Hukam HaMishkan, the Mishkan put up. And so the art scroll picks up on this and it says, the context of Moshe erected. So the that first Moshe put up the cover known as the Mishkan, so that was the essence of the Mishkan, and only thereafter did he put up the planks that would support it. Until the planks were ready, the cover was held in place either by people or miraculously, Sorno. And they continue. So what this is saying is that Moshe actually put up the he put up the cover and then put up the planks. So how is that physically possible? If you put up the cover, the cover that goes the suspends in the air, you have to first put up the planks and then put up the cover. So two pshatim, either somebody was holding up the planks, and so Moshe put the cover on, or miraculously, that's what Serrano is saying, which means Moshe essentially put the cover on, and he did what Hashem told him. Hashem told him, put the cover on first, and the pesukim constantly say, Asher tzivah Hashem es Moshe. So he put the cover on first, and he probably didn't really know what would happen unless you take the pshat, somebody was holding it. So Hashem said, put the cover on, and he didn't really question and think about it, put the cover on, and it seems to me it's sort of suspended in the air miraculously, and the idea being that when Hashem tells you to do it, so he just did it. And I think it really, one thing I'll speak about the next few minutes, I may have given a sure once before, but it definitely bears repeating, is a mitzvah to try. So it reminds me of a Mishnah Perkei Avos that I have in front of me. Perek Beis Mishnah Chaf Aleph. Hu Haya Omer. Rabbi Tarfon used to say, "Well, lech ha'malacha l'gmor, lo atah ben charan lehipat el b'menah." You are not required to complete a task, but you are not free to withdraw from it. In l'mata Torah harbe nosim l'cha. If you study much Torah, they give you a great reward. And your employer can be relied upon to pay you the wage of your labor. Be aware, the reward of the righteous will be in the given the world to come. So the art scroll Alos has a commentary. They quote the various commentaries. Rabbi Tarfon comments on his own statement in the previous mission regarding man's overwhelming spiritual task in this world. One may feel, why should I begin when I'll never be able to complete all my duties? Since the day is short, the task is abundant, it is useless to try. Therefore, Rabbi Tarfon tells us that we're not resolved for a task, even though they seem too heavy for us. So the idea being that you still have to try, even if it's very tough. With this Peshat thing, and the last Mishnah, it says that there's a lot to do. If you think there's a lot to do, maybe you can't do it. It doesn't matter. You still have to try. Hashem does not engage man in his service with the expectation that he can complete the task. He does not penalize him for being unable to finish. On the other hand, man is obligated to commit his best efforts to the service of the Creator. He should not think that if he is willing to forego the reward, he may be absolved of the duty. The work is not optional. It is a burden that must be borne, so you have to do it. Were man enjoined the impossible duty to complete the task, he could expect no reward. However, it's the full effort that Hashem seeks, not success. That's the key here. It's the full effort that Hashem seeks, not success. More effort expended, the greater the reward. Rashi and Chassidavit. Mezra speaks of an ignoramus who enters the study hall, requesting instruction not to succeed in Torah study. Begin with scripture, he is told, go on to Mishnah and Talmud, follow this with Medrash and Agada, etc. Discouraged, he declares, how ever learn all this? Because if someone says, learn all Shas, all of Chumash and Tanakh, so it could be discouraging, at least the whole. He doesn't realize the Torah is compared to water. Drop by drop, it accumulates until it becomes a powerful stream. Likewise, day by day, effort will yield prodigious results. In other words, if you keep trying every little day, you do one Mishnah, eventually you're going to learn a lot of Shas, maybe more. Because Kedusha Rim uses the two clauses as the connective thought. Man is given an endless task. For this reason alone, he can never absolve himself of it. So Kedusha Rim, the idea is that because it's so endless, you can never say, oh, I did too much. So they generally quote a story at the bottom that I think is always nice. They have a very nice story. The city of Davinsk was blessed with two world-renowned geniuses who served in two congregations during the same period. The Rogatchev Gaon, Yosef Rosen, the Safnas Panach, I believe, outlived the Or Smeach, Meir Simcha Cohen, eulogized him with the following observation. One trapped under a fallen beam in a burning building can find the strength to move the beam and escape the flames, even though under ordinary circumstances, he would never be able to push the beam even an inch. Rabbi Meir Simcha always tapped into that strength when he learned. Such strength is a result of pure willpower, the only effective weapon against the natural limitations of laziness. So he's saying that the Rebbe Chaim Gaon said about Rabbi Simcha Meir, that he would constantly be trying. It's like he had such effort that it's like someone moving a beam, a very heavy beam, and a fire. That's how he was able to do it. That's how he was able to constantly do wonderful things. And it's only the strength of willpower. I actually heard the version one time a little bit differently, even that they asked the Rebbe Chaim Gaon. So I guess the Or Smeach was smart, like, who's smarter, you or him? And so he replied with a story. He is smarter, but the Or Smeach tried hard. It wasn't a knock. It wasn't something against the Or Smeach. It was the effort. It goes a long way. It's really the effort. It puts an effort, may even have more reward and understand it more than somebody who's just naturally brilliant. And I think it's really a big musar as to our everyday lives, because we never know what we're capable of. We always say, oh, I can't do it. I can't run shots. I can't do chassid. I can't give staka. I can't do any of these things. And it's not our place to try to decide what we can and can't do. Our place, our job, is to try. I believe it's from the Siddur Shtar. I think it's from Rabbi Nachman that we're only given a task that we can do. It's very easy to give up. How do we know we can't finish us? How do we know we can't give another stuck? How do we know we can't find another share? How do we know we can't give another share? How do we really know that we, you know, our mini attendance is adequate. Maybe if we learned a little bit more, we dive in a little bit more, we put in the same motivation that we have towards secular things, physical things, right? Lamashal, somebody found out there was $1 million 5 miles away, which you want, and somebody said you have to walk five miles to get $1 million. So most people would probably walk 5 miles to get $1 million because it's $1 million. Problem is, when it comes to Talmud Torah, we don't see it the same way. Do we see Talmud Torah as millions and millions of dollars? If a person sees Talmud Torah as millions of dollars, so maybe he'll walk 5 miles to try to do it. A lot of it has to do with attitude. A lot of it has to do with really a mentality. I remember even when I was in yeshiva, a high school, one of my classmates, one of my rebbeim, you know, when it came to the Gedolei Adar, was it effort or was it geniusness? And he said, you know what? I think it's probably a little bit of both, he said. He says that maybe to some degree, yeah, they were very smart. Obviously, if you had people like the Vilna Gaon, they were extremely smart. But it was obviously a lot of effort. And I actually saw not too long ago that the Reb Chaim Volozhin quotes, it says that for the Vilna Gaon, was like, he ate very little, slept very little. He was really, it's for another time, the Vilna Gaon worked extremely hard. And so even though he was very, very bright, he did in fact work very hard. I've heard stories of other Gedolei Adar, Rabbi Avadia Yosef, who also didn't have, he had a problem with his eyesight, and he would read in the moonlight. He worked extremely hard on his midos. They say that Moshe Feinstein, the stories are tremendous sometimes. Nobody really knows the extent of it, that he was constantly learning. That was pretty clear, constantly learning. And these Gedolei Adar were very smart, but they were constantly learning, they were constantly trying. And it's not an insult towards them that we often think, oh, well, they were naturally brilliant. But if they were constantly trying, constantly working, that's part of the reason they became so brilliant. And even if we don't become super brilliant, we know, call it Torah Kula, we still need to try to dive in a little more, come on, try to learn a little bit more, try to get a little bit more stuck, try to do a little more chesed, and it's with that and mentality, and I think that's really what it is, mentality and attitude, we should be able to see the Sarastovas, and really not even, brach stuck on the learning, live Torah, love Torah, learn Torah, have a wonderful Shabbos, and a Chodesh Tov. Thank you very much, bye-bye.